Chapter 8, if you would. Acts chapter 8, we're going to read there. While you're turning, I might ask you, if you would, to pray for my wife. She is going to the doctor on Friday, and I really want you to pray that they don't decide that she needs a hard cast on her hand, all right? She's been running around in that splint, operating one-handed, and if you'd pray that that would come out, she failed not. Think may have a broken bone in her hand, so she's going to the orthopedic doctor on Friday. So pray for her if you would. All right, you're there in Acts chapter 8. Let's look at beginning in verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And the early history of the New Testament church is marked by persecution. It's marked by struggle, tragedy, and triumph. But man, there was great persecution for the first 200 to 300 years. There was great persecution of Christians, and it wasn't a time for weak and wandering and worried members. It was time for people that were willing to stand up and endure a little bit for the Lord, and I believe it's kind of hard for us to even comprehend what those days were like. We can read history and look at it and see what it says, but it's hard for us to comprehend it. The truth is, it was an exciting, thrilling time, but it could also be a very dangerous time and a dangerous day for the believer. Saul himself was on the loose, as we find that in verse 1, looking for anybody that he could accuse and drag into prison for the crime of being what you and I would refer to as being a Christian, all right? So it was a day of persecution, but there was another thing that marked the early days of the church, and that's preaching. So I want to speak to you just a little bit this morning on persecution and preaching. Now I want you to notice there, if you will, in verse 1, the Bible says at that time there was great persecution. Great persecution. We saw it manifest itself in chapter 7. You read chapter 7, you hear the testimony, the sermon that Stephen preached, and it so angered those that heard him that they drug him out of the city. They stoned him to death because he told them the truth, all right? Now, in our day, it doesn't make the front page of the paper. It doesn't make the evening news, but there's still persecution going on in this world today for Bible-believing people. Especially in places like Sudan and in places like India. Folks are dying for their faith, all right? Now, it doesn't get on the world news, all right? It's the Christian that faces the great majority of the persecution that goes on in the world. A lot of persecution against it, all right? And Christians still dying for their faith. We're not looked upon, even in this country, I think sometimes we're merely tolerated. Those of us that are real Bible-believing people are barely tolerated. The Bible tells us in regards to that persecution that Saul was consenting to it. He was in agreement with it. He stood by when they stoned Stephen. He didn't participate. He didn't pick up a rock. He held and watched the clothes for those that did, all right? So he was consenting unto his death. And we see that same kind of thing in our world today when it comes to persecution. There's going to be some that may not participate, but they're in agreement with the those that are participating. They're in agreement with those that are persecuting. Saul was one on. He not only held the clothes, but man, he went on, the Bible said, to cause great havoc in the church, because he went looking for people that were saved, grabbing them, putting them in prison for their faith because they named the name of Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I thank God there were some folks that stood in the face of that persecution. They held on. They continued. They continued. You said, how do you know? Well, I want you to look at verse 2. Verse 2 where we read. Sometimes I think we read the scripture and we don't really think about what it's giving us, all right? At chapter 7, they stoned Stephen to death. Verse 1 of chapter 8, Saul, here he is. And he was consenting. The Bible said there was great persecution, so much so that they were all scattered abroad. Those who were believers literally ran for their life, all right? They were scattered out. But there were some devout men that took Stephen and buried him. Now, we don't think that that would be a big thing. But wait a minute, you do realize that that means they identified themselves with Stephen. When they went and took that body of Stephen, they were identifying with him. They were saying, hey, we're in agreement with this fellow you just stoned to death. And not only that, notice what it says, they made great lamentation over him. They made it plain to everybody that was there, we love this man. He meant a lot to us. We're with him. We were behind him. We believe the way he believed. They stood with him. And usually when people are at a funeral, they're acquainted with the one who died. Yesterday, I conducted a graveside service for Brother Jerry Chandler's mother. And we went out to the cemetery. My wife and I and my brother, we've known Mrs. Chandler for years and years, and she's one of those people. She's like some other folks. She told me one time I was her pastor. I said, why can't I get you to come to church then, all right? You know, she said, well, I like you from a distance. Now, she didn't say that. I said that. But, hey, we went to that funeral. Now, we identified with her. We identified. Somebody said, do you like that lady? Yeah, I did. Yeah, I liked her. I spent time in her home. These men, these devout men that carried Stephen to his burial, were risking their life just doing that. Boy, I'm glad there were some people that stood up to those that persecuted and said, you're not going to cause us to quit doing what's right to do. You and I need to be careful. There may come a day where there's more persecution in our land than there is even now. Now, what are you going to do? I hope you'll stand. I hope you'll say, I'm willing to identify with those that stand. I'm willing to take a stand with those that will risk their life for the testimony of Jesus Christ. We ought to stand with those kind of people, all right? We ought to be a part of them. But I said there was persecution, but I want to emphasize the preaching. Verse 4 gives it to us. The Bible said, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Preaching the word. Now, they ran for their life, but they did not forget what had caused the persecution for them. They went everywhere preaching. Now, here's our problem. We think preaching is only conducted behind the pulpit. But it's not, all right? Preaching can be conducted from places not just behind the pulpit. He said, well, God didn't call me to preach. If you're saved, he did, in a way, cause you to preach. He called you to that. You see, we're to be the ones that go. All of those people that were scattered abroad, they weren't preachers in the sense we think of preachers. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the apostles are the ones that stayed in Jerusalem. The one that we would consider, oh, those were the preachers. They stayed in the Jerusalem, but everywhere else that was scattered, they went everywhere preaching. He said, what does that mean? That means they testified to the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They testified to what God had done for them. They let somebody know, hey, I met someone that changed my life. Changed my life. I got saved when I was 9 years old. Got saved on a Sunday night, First Baptist Church, Tice, Florida. I don't remember what the preacher preached on. If you were to push me, I'd say, well, he preached on the platform. Because I don't know the subject. I don't know the subject matter of what was preached. I don't remember. I probably wasn't even really consciously aware right then. He said, why'd you get saved? Because the Holy Spirit was dealing with me and had been for weeks. And so that Sunday night, I got saved. That next Monday morning, I went to school. Not because I wanted to. I'd a lot rather done something else. But I went to school because I had to go. But I tell you, something had happened to me on Sunday night, and I just had to tell somebody. I mean, I just had to tell somebody. I picked out Kirby Collier. I still remember his name. He was in school with me, and we were in school there together, third grade. I sat down. Kirby, it's your lucky day, son. I didn't tell him that way. But you said, well, what'd you tell him? I don't know exactly how it went, but I said, hey, somehow I got saved last night. Did you give him the scripture? No. But I told him what happened to me. Amen. Told him what happened to me. Hey, preach, you just had to tell somebody. Had to tell somebody. Preaching. Those people went everywhere preaching. But then the Bible gives a specific instance. Would you look at verse 6? The Bible said, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. I want you to notice some real essential truths here, would you? He preached Christ. He didn't preach positive thinking. He did not preach possibility thinking. He did not give them philosophy or psychology. Nope, none of that. Wasn't that at all. He preached Jesus Christ. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, would you? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Right after the book of Acts is the book of Romans, then the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you'll notice there just one verse in that chapter. Look down in verse 23, would you? Here's what the Apostle Paul was convicted to write. He said, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Hey, he said, what do you preach? We preach Christ. We preach Christ. We preach that one who was born like nobody else had ever been born. We preach one who lived a life like nobody else has ever lived. We preach one who died like nobody else has ever died. He died with the sin of the world on his back. He died a substitutionary death. Hey, he gave his life. Gave his life. You mark it down. They didn't take it. He gave it. Hey, we preach that one who came up from the dead like nobody's ever done before. Like nobody. That's who we preach. We preach Jesus Christ. Hey, it is the Lord Jesus Christ that people need today. That is what they need more than anybody else. What we want to do is point you to Christ. Point you to Christ. I don't want you to come here and leave this morning thinking, wasn't Brother Mosley wonderful? No, I want you to think how great God is. I want you to know how good and how marvelous the Lord Jesus Christ is. It is He that you need. We point people to Him. God, manifest in the flesh. Whatever your need, whatever your problem might be today, He can help you. He can help you. Can I say this to you? When it comes to your eternal destiny, He's the only one can help you. The only one can help you. You're going to leave this old world one of these days. Now you have no idea when. I spoke to those folks at that funeral yesterday, and I said, every one of you going to die. I said, but you don't know when. You don't know when. And I said, you don't control that. You don't control it. He said, preacher, I'll just take my own life. Don't mean it'll work. You can try. I've heard of a person jumping out of a building, a high building, and getting blown back onto the ledge on the next floor. I knew a man that put a pistol to his head, pulled the trigger, and woke up. A little bit later, the only thing he had done was blinded himself. He was still alive, lived for years after that. Good thing he did, because he got saved after he tried to kill himself. Hey, so what are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, you don't control when you're going to die. God's in control. But when you die, you better die with your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, who we preach to you today. We preach Christ. We preach Christ. Why? Because He's the one who can help you. He's the one who can help you. But I want you to notice those words in verse 6. Verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, this is essential if preaching is going to help you. Preaching will not help you if all you do is sit there and go, got it. All right, glory to God, it's over, we're going home. Preaching won't help you. Won't do you one bit of good in the world. But what is essential is that you give heed. Give heed. It's not enough to be where preaching is going on. It's not enough to simply hear the words. There's people sitting in this auditorium this morning might may not be listening. You're here. Hey, you may even be looking at me. But that means you're hearing anything I say. You're just here. You're just here. You may be here and not looking like you're listening, but you may be listening. I've had kids that they were over there doing something else, and boy, but they'd say something when they heard a word. They were listening. They're listening. Hey, the question is, hey, you're here, but it's not enough to simply hear the words. You must give heed. That is to give heed is to listen and receive and believe and act on it, all right? Act on it. To give heed. You ever been out somewhere and you hear somebody yell, duck! Now, what do? I'll tell you what a lot of people do. Not the smartest thing to do. Or if somebody yells duck, it's a good idea to duck. After you duck, give it a little bit, then look around. And you might find the person that didn't duck, all right? And wish they had of. Hey, but you got to give heed is I heard it, I believed it, and I acted on it. You have to do that. Hey, can I tell you this? These folks got excited over what they heard and saw. And they got excited over it. They were there, they were listening in, and they gave heed. It had an effect upon them and upon what they did, all right? And so what was the result? The result's right there in verse 8. The Bible said there was great joy in that city. Great joy in that city. I marvel at people that sit in church and bored. I'm just bored. Now, I learned a long time ago. I've worked with teenagers for 50-plus years, all right? And I love working with teenagers. But I don't mind telling teenagers, and they say, I'm bored. I say, no, your problem is you're boring. And boring people get bored, all right? These folks weren't that way. There wasn't anybody saying, I'm bored to death, all right? Look, if you receive and get in on what's going on, you're not bored. You're happy about it. When it's you're preaching Christ and you get that message and it gets a hold in you, all right? It's beyond mere happiness. Beyond mere happiness. My dad said for years, happiness depends on what's happened. And what happens, and I'm happy. Hey, it's way past just fun, all right? Joy is that long-lasting experience. It's something that sticks with you for a period of time, all right? I mean, it just stays with you. It doesn't depart after a few minutes. It's not gone overnight. People today want that joy, but the trouble is they seek it in the wrong place. They want that joy, they do, but man, the people in this sin-crazy world think the church is the last place you'd find joy. But the truth is, it's the best place to find joy. In the house of God, where somebody will stand and open the Word of God and preach the Lord Jesus Christ to you. Preach it to you, all right? Joy comes when you hear and you heed that preaching of Jesus Christ. Something happened to me when I was 9 years old in that Sunday night service that I've never gotten over. And the longer I've lived and the more I've heard that preaching and the more I've drawn myself to Christ and the more I've worked to develop that relationship, you know what I found out? The more joy I have. I don't go through life with, woe is me. Oh, it's a tough day. It's just hard. I'm having a hard time. I've got an answer, and people tell you, hey, how you doing? And I tell them, I'm having a big time, man. Now, they laugh, but I ain't kidding. I am having a big time. If I'm at Walmart, I'm having a big time at Walmart. If I'm at Sam's, I'm having a big time at Sam's. And I mean, life is wonderful if you know the Lord. You say, well, preacher, don't you ever have any problems? Well, of course. But I got some help. I'm not in this life alone. Man, I met the Lord. And the better relationship I have with Him, the better it is. When I was a kid, we'd sing, I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Hey, the problem is you got over it. You shouldn't have got over it. Man, thank God for that hearing the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you hear what He has to say about life and you'll give heed to His words, joy will be the result. It just comes, all right? There's joy in salvation. Joy in salvation. Man, he realized all my sins forgiven. All my sins forgiven. I'll never have to stand before God and answer for my sin. Won't have to do that. Man, it's done. It's in the past. He never drags it up. Don't have to worry about it being drug up. Now, we got kinfolks that'll drag up stuff we've done. Because they don't forgive the way God forgives. I've got a brother here. Oftentimes, we come at one another. And we'll bring up things each one of us have done to the other one. I'll talk to you about the time he let me slide off the top bunk head first onto the hardwood floor. And if you're wondering, that is what's wrong with me. All right? He'll come back and say, yeah, but you remember that time you threw that rock and hit me in the head? And I said, yeah, it was a good shot, wasn't it? Yeah, we drag up that stuff. Don't tell you something. My sin's forgiven. It's under the blood. There's a great song that says, what sin are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, it's all been cast out. Man, what a wonderful thing. Why? Because there's joy in salvation. Joy in salvation. You know, it's good to not have to carry around guilt. Good not to have to carry around guilt. Joy. Joy in salvation. Let me tell you this. I found out there's joy in submission. Joy and submission. If I'll come to the Lord and submit myself to Him and do what He says to do, there's joy in that. It's not slavery. It's not a hard time. It's not, well, man, you know, I'll never get to do what I want to do. We're independent Baptists. We're Bible-believing Baptist people. We believe in eternal security. I've had people tell me that don't believe in eternal security say this. They say, if I believe what you did, I just go do anything I want to. I look at him, I say, that's exactly what I do. I do what I want to do. But see, I'm submitted to Jesus Christ. And what I want to do is what makes him happy. I want to put a smile on his face. I want to do that, man. So, yep, hey, there's joy in submitting to the Son of God. There's joy in submitting to the Word of God. There's joy in serving the Savior. Be honest with you, that's where it's at. Now, that there's the whole lost world, and unfortunately a lot of saved people are chasing joy doing their own thing. Guess what? You ain't happy. Oh, from time to time you have a little fun. But you don't have that joy. You don't have it. Now you say, preacher, I want that kind of joy. And I say this to you, you'll never find it out in the world. You'll never find it in a bottle, in booze. You'll never find it in drugs. It just won't. It will not be there. You'll never find it in the bar. You'll never find it in immorality. Joy is not there. It's not there. Not at all. You'll never find it in doing your thing. You want it? It can and will only be found in a real close relationship with Jesus Christ. Can't find it in the bar. Can't find it in the bottom of the bottle. You can't find it in the whorehouse. You can find it right here at the altar. You can find it there. You'd come and you'd just throw yourself upon the mercy of God. You can find that joy. You say, well, I mean, I have to give up some stuff. Yeah, you'll find out you're better off without that stuff. You know what you'll find? You'll find you don't miss it. You just don't miss it. Because there's something else God has for you. So much better. So much better. Joy is available. Hey, Philip preached Christ. They gave heed to what he said. There was great joy. Want that? Will you come? Will you come to him? He said, preacher, can I believe you? No, but you can believe the Bible. You can believe the Bible. You can believe the Word of God. There's some other folks in here would stand and say, I know what he's talking about. I know what he's talking about. Yep, I tried it out there. Didn't find it out there. But it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you come to him today? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Nobody looking around. Hey, would you just be honest with yourself? How about it? You really have that joy? You know what it is to have joy? We used to sing a chorus, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Your sins he'll wipe away. Your night he'll turn to day. Your life he'll make it over anew. If you want that joy, you got to come to him. Heavenly Father, Lord, would you bring conviction where conviction is needed? Lord, would you help people to be honest with themselves today? Lord, most people want joy if they'll admit it. But they need to come to Jesus Christ. They need to come to you. That's the only place it can really be found. True joy will only be found in him. Lord, speak to hearts this morning. Help us use the invitation and use the altar today. I pray in Jesus' name.